It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day. I appreciate you listening, and please that you just listen so carefully and clearly to the precious Word of God. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23, and we're going through the woes. And as we look at those, we find that there are eight woes, and we're going to look at each one of them very carefully. And so please that you'll follow along, and we begin reading with chapter 23, verse 13. That's the first one. We're going to review that a little bit and then go on to the rest. And so please open your Bibles and prepare for that study. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address, Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, and I'd love for you to do that, we've got many studies there. It'll just help you to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. It will show you the way to the Lord Jesus if you do not know Him as your personal Savior. And that is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Very simple. And also, if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will work just fine. And so please that you would look to that site, enjoy it with the website. I would love for you to do that. Plan of Salvation's there. Our Constitution is there, so you'll know exactly what we what the beliefs that we have, what doctrines that we follow according to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 23, beginning to read with verse 13. Hope that was enough time. Verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." Verse 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Please that listen, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever swear by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty." Tremendous scriptures there. We're going to begin and enjoy those, and so please that let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to come today, enjoy this precious time together, and just guide and lead us. And please, I pray, Father, that there be no one here that has not looked to the Lord Jesus for their salvation in Him alone, not by works, not by church membership, not by baptism, but by faith we come to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, please that you will draw each and every listener today to your Son. And we know that that is the work of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that we will listen and recognize that we need to come by faith and depend upon Him and depend upon Him alone for our salvation. Not any connection otherwise. It is a joy to serve Him. It's a joy to work, but not for our salvation. We work and serve because we love our Savior and we love, Father, you. We love our guide and our God as well. And so please direct us each day. Be our guide. Speak to our hearts now as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these woes here, we find that false teachers, and we have many, many a church that has a pastor, a preacher, and I don't want to call him a pastor because a pastor is a shepherd, one that leads, and I guess that's what you're doing, but you're leading the folks astray. And so were these scribes and Pharisees, the religious folks. They were leading them astray. We started out with the scripture verses above there concerning God is love. You'll find that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. And we also looked up Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. That's 12:29, and our God is a consuming fire. And I promise you that if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will find yourself in the pits of hell. Do not trust in a church, any given denomination. It's a joy to serve. We need to worship God. God has given us the church, but He has given us the church to those that have believed and believe only in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in some doctrine that the church teaches that's contrary to the Word of God. So please, I plead with you that you understand He is a consuming fire. We find that these men, they were to be the religious teachers, they were to be the good teachers, the scribes and the Pharisees, and yet we find that Jesus Himself calls them hypocrites. And very quickly, because we've been through the first one, and there are eight of them, and for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And so it's so sad. They again are to be God's representatives, and they are representing their God, which is the devil. And anyone that does not know the Lord Jesus and does not teach the Word of God, the truth from, and again, I stress time after time, the King James Bible. I want you to go to the King James Bible. I want you to use that, because the newer versions, It is a trick of the devil to take the power of God away. And so I plead with you that you find, and they're not common, because everything else you'll find over on the corner shelf there may be a King James Bible, but see, and I stay with the old King James. I do not even go with the new King James. I want the Word of God before me that is true and is right, and so please that you follow it. What was happening to the Jewish people, and they were following after the scribes and the Pharisees. They were not staying true to the Word of God. And we have that today in many, many denominations. They believe you've got to be baptized to be saved. Yes, there is a baptism, but that baptism is the Holy Spirit, not a physical baptism. It is that the Holy Spirit comes and immerses, it takes over your life and your body. What a joy. And that's what happens the day that you say yes to Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts our heart, shows us we're a sinner, and you acknowledge that. And once you acknowledge that, then you say, oh, yes, dear Father, please, I trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus, for my Savior. Please come into my heart and save me, Jesus. It is that simple, but it has to come from the heart, not from the mind. These representatives have done nothing but teach from the mind. And so it says here, ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that enter to go in. In other words, you yourself are going to hell, and you're leading everybody else there. And that is so true today. And as we said before, the prophets, they have told the way, the place where the Messiah was to be born. They were everything, without question, Jesus is the Messiah. But please just don't hold on to Him to be only a historic event, something that took place. Make Him your personal Savior. They developed, the scribes and the Pharisees, that there would be this mighty leader come, and he would come and he would conquer the Roman government and set Israel free. That's what was to come. And yet we know that that wasn't his purpose. He come to seek and to save those that are lost, not to set them free from a ruling nation of Rome. But this one, the one that they had established, does not resemble the Messiah. He is the Son of God, very God in the flesh, but they took him to be an unlearned son of a carpenter, and they would not accept him nor his teaching, even though he performed millions of miracles. I don't know how many. There were times he would go into a city, and all that would come to him, he would heal, and yet they ignored him. The scribes and the Pharisees set out to reject the Lord Jesus, and they got the people to follow. They stood, as it said, in the way of salvation. And then the second woe here is concerning the widows. And for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive a greater damnation. Now, as we look at that, and the greater damnation is, ye make him a twofold. Therefore ye shall receive a greater damnation for what you're doing with the widows. And here we have two serious accusations. One is that they devour widows' houses, and the second one is concerning the long prayers. Now, we started to read in that. We read from Psalm 68:5. We have read from 146 verse 9 in Psalms. We've also read Proverbs 15:25, and from Deuteronomy 24:17-22. We have read those verses of Scripture, and we've also read from Acts chapter 6 verse 1. We read those last time we were together, and we started to read back in 1 Timothy, but we did not get it finished. And so we're going to go back once again to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. This is a great instruction. The elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters, with all purity, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. The younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all. The others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by participity. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. There's a lot in there worthy of reading, because to begin with, we're going to cover what these scribes and Pharisees were doing. But also here, it gives us a tremendous definition and explanation of who a widow should be. And it is not just someone that has lost their husband. And it gives us even, let not a widow be taken into the number under 70 years old. In other words, 60. She has to be older than 60 to be a widow. She must not have any relatives, especially immediate family, to care for her. And what we're talking about here is the church taking care of her. And that's what it's talking about back here with the scribes and the Pharisees. So as we look at this, and as we see these this clear explanation that if you're young and your husband dies, you're to remarry. And if you don't, you're going to catch yourself being wandering, idle, tattlers, busybodies, speaking things you ought not to. You need to have your family take care of your family. It is so important that you do that. And so for you to be a widow indeed is very clearly spoken here. And so we have that instruction back in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you would like to read it again. And again, that was a lot of reading. It was very important for us to see. Now, as we come back to Matthew chapter 23, verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Now, let's deal with the widows' houses here first, because we've established who a widow actually is. The word houses here is more than just a house. It's their property. It's their possessions of any kind. And devour widows' houses, they pretended, these scribes and these Pharisees pretended to take care of the poor and the widows, to help them wherever they could. But the truth be known, they were just gaining their trust only to take their possessions from them. They would become what we would call today the executor of the estate. I'll take care of you. I'll meet all your needs. But in truth, all they were wanting to do was take of their monies and their properties. Giving help and giving and helping must come from the heart. Come from love, not from the mind or from, as we would express, the pocketbook. They only pretended to care. And for this also was the prayers. And they would try to gain the widow's hope and support. And then for a pretense, make long prayers. And this would be not only for the widows, but this was just something that also the people would see. And Jesus is not condemning these long prayers by any means. But they did it, once again, only to be seen. That's the reason that they did these long prayers, was to be seen, to be heard, not to have a great concern for the souls and for the lives of the widows and the souls of the lost. It was just a proclamation so people could see them. We have some scripture verses back here to look up in Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The meditation that they were doing, there was no love. There was no desire to be holy, to have a desire that this soul would be saved, or this widow would be helped, or guidance in any way. It was all a pretense. All a pretense. We got another one here in Psalms, Psalm 63. I hope you didn't close your Bible from there. I hope you're able to look these up. If not, why, please do it later. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 63, 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Meditate. True meditation. Let's go now past Matthew and on back to 1 Timothy one more time here. We were just there, so you should be able to come to it quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate. Give thyself wholly to them. Please, that you would seek the will of God. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that bear thee. It is wonderful, hear thee. It is wonderful to proclaim the word of God. Again, we find there was no love in the meditation that they were giving. For pretense, make long prayers. What was the result of that? Therefore ye shall receive great damnation. Great damnation. You can fool man, but you can't fool God. Number three, the third woe. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now that is quite a statement at the very end of that. By what you're doing, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves, than the scribes and Pharisees, the ones that Jesus is crying out, hypocrites, ye hypocrites. What this is saying, number one, a proselyte. Let me give you the definition of that. That's a person who is converted from one religious sect to another. Now, in order to become a Jew, at the time, back in the Old Testament, in order to become a Jew, you became a Jew. You offered sacrifices. You were circumcised. You did all the things that a Jew would do. And they would call them a proselyte. You have become a Jew. Now today, as we take the gospel out, and you hear me invite you to come here, we'd love for you to be here. I'd love to have fellowship with you. But much more important than that is I want you to know the Lord Jesus. Now that's something that they were not doing. They were bringing them into their religion. There are many denominations out there. And what do most folks do today? They do not tell another person about the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the greatest man that has ever lived because he is fully man and fully God. He is perfect. And for us to tell, for anyone to tell you the wonderful message of salvation and how to attain it, how to receive it, is not telling you about another religion. It's bringing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the difference between just inviting someone to church and not telling them about Jesus. And if they would come, say, to your church, and they would join the church, but you do not tell them about Jesus. Well, we all believe about Jesus, but do you believe him in your head or in your heart? Have you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the day that you do is the day the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart, and that's a day you will never forget. You will never forget the day that you asked Jesus to come into your heart. You confessed your sin and said yes to Jesus. That's a big difference from coming and joining a church. Maybe you were at this church over here and you come and, you know, I kind of like this preacher and I kind of like this church. I love these people, so I think I'm going to join your church. Well, for the one that invited them and brought them into the other church without telling them about the Lord Jesus is to proselyte. And these scribes and Pharisees searched high and low, sea and land, to make a proselyte, to bring someone into the Jewish religion. Now, why would God, the Lord Jesus, say, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself? We know these scribes and Pharisees didn't know the Lord Jesus. They were not Christian. They were a cult because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you reject the personal relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what you're involved in. Your God's the devil. And what was happening, they were bringing them into this religion, but they weren't bringing them to Christ, and so they were not changing their life by trusting in the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming in, because once the Holy Spirit comes in, then the demons leave. They're gone. But what was happening was, now we're just mixing two cults. The one that you came out of, you've pulled some of those beliefs, brought those with you, and the new teaching. And if it rejects or does not speak of the coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, trusting in his precious blood and that alone, not by any works, then you too have accomplished the same thing that Jesus is telling these scribes and Pharisees, that you're making that person worse. Bring them to Jesus. Don't bring them to church. bring them to Jesus. And then if that church preaches the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then, my dear friend, you have victory. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?